say. Don't fuck with me. I'll get the Douce and the fucking lemonade.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Breaking Down the Tape. Now, this might be a departure from the norm because the norm has been that we're dead. We're gone. But guess what, baby? We broke out the AED. We hit some Narcan on this bitch. We are back.
All we needed was a little bit of morphine. And we're good to go. It's been a long off season. We've had a lot of shit going down in our personal lives that we don't really need to get too in depth on. Just know
none of your business.
That we know that we've been gone for a while, but we're back because at the same time, we're about a week and a half away from football.
Oh, my God, boy.
You think we weren't going to come back?
Amen. And we know that you know that we know that you know. That we know that you know. All right? That's all I have to say about that. But I just tried to open an already open bottle. I'm doing great. It's already starting off great. But no, man. Like, football is coming back, obviously. We've got basketball getting ready to ramp up. We've got some top news that I do want to bring up about the Knicks with you. Baseball is in full swing. Don't really want to talk about the Yankees because that's just going to make you depressed. But, yeah, man, Hector put it simply, man. We got a lot going on in our lives. Shit happens. We don't get paid for this, but we're back. The villain arc is here. The beard is gone. The mustache is here. So, yeah, man, we said it in pre. Let's talk about the Jets. We haven't been on since some of the biggest news in Jets fandom in years. And I'm sure if my wife upstairs could hear me, she'd simply laugh at me for how ecstatic I am about this season. But the Jets, baby. The Jets are making the playoffs. The Jets are winning the Super Bowl.
That's
the segment. There you go. Done. Goodbye.
I mean, that's it. Just, you know, cut and episode over 2 minutes in. Like, that's just about it. Like, the season's here. Final preseason game for all the teams are this week. Started today. I was actually watching the Pittsburgh Steelers Falcon game a little bit. George Pickens looked like he's going to have a breakout season.
That dude's a problem. We said
he's going to be a huge problem, and I think Kenny Pickett is also going to have a very good season.
You know, I can see that. You know, and just I know we talked about last year, like Kenny Pickens has some George Pickens has some serious Black Air Force energy. That kid's a fucking menace to society. And he is going to hurt defenses. That kid's a second-round draft pick in fantasy football, at minimum. Like, that kid hurt people.
I know Aaron Rodgers was the big deal with the Jets, and we got Breece Hall prepared and ramped up for week one. And it was almost 100% solidified that, you know, the Jets to the Super Bowl, but then the biggest acquisition – of all was just adding Dalvin Cook to the mix. So now we're at the point where, I mean, it's win or bust.
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect way to put it and the only way to put it, right? And this is clearly no hot take, and this is clearly no, oh my God, I can't believe I've never thought of this. Like, the Jets put Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh, we put it all on the line. The Jets are clearly going for a Super Bowl this year, next year. They have like a 2-3 year window where we're clearly just going for it, right? Like you said, Aaron Rodgers coming in, and then he restructures his contract so that they have some more money. And you go ahead and you bring in Dalvin Cook, make a couple other small signings here and there, but those are clearly your, you know, your blockbuster signings. It's here. It's here for the taking. You have Breece Hall back. You have Michael Carter. You have Bam Knight. You have the kid that they just drafted this year.
I always say his name wrong. I'm not even going to do it. I'm not going to butcher his name.
Izzy, bro. It's easier that way. Yeah. I just call him Izzy.
He reminds me of like a step behind a Breece.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have probably one of the better running back cores in the league. I mean, you want to talk about like a dual headed monster. Like, they've got five guys that are starting running backs in 70% of the NFL.
It's funny that they're treating the running back room, which I'm always for adding some extra depth on the running back situation for us. They're treating the running back room the way they're treating their D line. It's just a rotating, non-tired, like, these guys are going to be like the Jets put it, like Robert Saleh puts it, all gas, no break. Like there is going to be no stop, because when one guy gets tired, you got another all pro, Pro Bowl caliber player coming in.
And, you know, and this is, as far as the offense goes, something that I haven't really heard anybody talk about too much. This is the first time we're really seeing the Kyle Shanahan style of coaching start to seep into Robert Saleh's offense. Like, sure, we've seen that, you know, that dominant defense, that top five defense, that rotation, like you said, through the defensive line. We've seen that before with Robert Saleh, and we love it. Awesome. But this is the first time that we're really starting to see that Shanahan mentality of, I've got five starting running backs. Go fuck yourself.
Now, the one thing that kind of did put us back, I would say, like a quarter of a step, was that we're coming into the final week of preseason, and now Corey Davis comes out and says he wants to retire at the age of 28. And I firmly believe, and my theory is that Corey Davis, when we acquired him a few years ago, he was the number one receiver for us.
Yeah.
I don't think he appreciated being only 28 years old, and he does have a lot of talent and game still left in him. He sure. has now dropped to possibly the third or fourth wide receiver on the depth chart, because no matter how you put it and no matter which way you look at it, Garrett Wilson is number one. And then the Lizard King has to be number two, because he has that camaraderie with Aaron Rodgers. Randall Cobb has to be number three. Well, technically, it would have been Corey Davis at number three just off of skill talent, because Randall Cobb's more there for the veteran presence and the teaching of the offense and stuff like that. But he's still a lethal fucking weapon for Aaron Rodgers. So now Randall Cobb gets put into the third role, and we still have about two or three wide receivers that are rookies and fighting for roster spots that have been, if you haven't watched Hard Knocks, watch Hard Knocks, have been balling their fucking asses off.
We've also, what's that kid's name? Brownlee?
Right? Yes, Brownlee is one of them. There's,
he has some nice hands,
is
bro.
It Dixon? Dixon?
I believe so.
But we're also going to use him as like punt and kick return. He has a ton of speed.
That, and don't knock Tyler Eifert, Jeremy Rucker. I don't know why I went Tyler Eifert. Jeremy Rucker at the tight end position.
And that cat kid. There's a he's a D2 undrafted free agent who's trying to make it in the NFL. He's like five or six on the depth chart. But the man, he reminds me of like a bigger, smaller Cooper Kupp, bigger Wes Welker.
And look, and I mean, I'm a little bit not different than, I don't necessarily disagree about what you're saying with Corey Davis, but I think it just comes down to this. Obviously, the Jets have made a commitment to their run game, right? Like, quite clearly, they have said, okay, We have supplied Aaron Rodgers with his offensive weapons, right? We have the returning offensive rookie of the year. We're giving him the Lizard King. We're giving him his safety blanket and Randall Cobb. We've got some good pass catching tight ends. You know what I mean? We've got a good batch of receivers that, you know, are all the way down to rookies, you know, 6-7 deep. If Corey Davis had stayed, he would be in that rotation. You know, we've clearly committed to these certain things. From what I understand, and I saw this pop up a little bit before we had come on, that the Jets offered Corey Davis to take a pay cut. And if he didn't like that, then he could search out some trade deals. And there wasn't much biting. I don't think Corey Davis is a bad receiver. There just wasn't a lot of interest on the market. And he decided to go out with his head held high. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I like Corey Davis to an extent. I wouldn't have paid him much money. I agree with what the Jets did and said, look, we've got all of this talent. We've made a commitment to not your position. And we're going to go ahead and move in this direction. And we've made at your position is fucking Garrett Wilson.
That's fine to me as well. But if I was Corey Davis, you're only 28 years old. You're only, what, you were drafted in 2015, 2016 or something like that.
It's only been a handful of years. Relatively.
Only a handful of years. You've had great seasons under your belt. You see what the Jets organization has been doing. You've seen one of the GOATs at the quarterback position take a $33 million pay cut. Why wouldn't you just be like, you know what? I'll be that third receiver that on most teams, I'm a number two or even possibly a number one. I will take that pay cut. I will do what's necessary so that I can win a ring, possibly, and also up my value if I do want to leave.
Now, there I agree with you. I don't think much would have happened this season to up his value. I just simply don't with the way I see the Jets playing football. But I do agree with you. You see Aaron Rodgers take a pay cut, something he has not been willing to do in the only other team he has played for in the National Football League. He comes to the Jets, and for the first time in his career, he's willing to take a pay cut. I feel like I agree with you. I would follow that. You want me to ride the pine and still make $8 million a year, whatever the fuck it is? You know, ride the pine, come in, maybe a catch or two a game. Hey, shit, maybe a touchdown here and there. But an honest chance at winning the Super Bowl for the first time with the Jets in fucking 60 years? I can't say I would turn that down.
I'm just, like, to me, I'm like, okay, Corey Davis, you want to put him at the number three depth chart. That fine. He can easily be the number two. But just think about it. You can easily be the number one DB in the league. Now you're getting put up against chump change. So your numbers will be you might not get the same amount of targets. You might not be the primary person he's targeting. But you have deep threat speed. You have the catching ability. You have the size. You're going against a lesser – you're going against possibly the third or fourth depth-charted DB on another opposing team.
Right.
Why not go out there and just ball out?
I definitely – I mean, like I said, I don't know if ball out would be something that he has even the chance to do. I hear what you're saying about the caliber of defense he will go up against being the number three, maybe number four guy. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers would even think of Corey Davis's name in the middle of a game. I just don't. When you have your guy, right, you have one of two of your guys that you've had for years in the Lizard King and Randall Cobb, and then you've got Garrett Wilson who's going to absolutely tear up the NFL for fucking years to come. I don't think he's ever going to think about Corey Davis, but once every fucking 16 passes. But again, that's fine. But why not take your money? Why not ride the pine, as it were, and potentially get a ring. Walk away from this bitch with a ring?
Well, I like the fact that I like the fact that you just said that because you, before we jumped on here, you said you haven't seen this latest episode of Hard Knocks.
I have not.
When you watch it, you're going to be like, holy shit. Because one of the things they say, Randall Cobb says in the episode was, you need to go out and you need to prove to Aaron Rodgers you will make a play. If he does not trust you, he will not throw you the ball. He does not want interceptions. He does not want to throw the ball away. He doesn't want mishaps. If you can't prove to him that you are going to be in the spot that he expects you to be in and catch the ball, he will not throw you the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you blame him? This dude's had one of the lowest touchdown to interception ratios fucking ever. You know what I mean? So at this age of his career and what he's planning to do here with the Jets, I don't fucking blame him. If I can't trust you, go fuck yourself. Simply put.
And continuing on the quarterback position, I like the fact that, one, he's been to every meeting, every practice, every OTA, every training camp session, every practice. And on top of that, he has already come out and said, I want to play the next couple of years and then hand it off to Zach Wilson for the next 15. And he has, and you can see it in these games, the way that Zach Wilson has been soaking in the knowledge from Aaron Rodgers, there is a huge difference from Zach Wilson with no veteran presence being a quarterback to now having Aaron Rodgers in one offseason. This man in the pocket, outside the pocket, just being the quarterback or the second quarterback in the depth chart, you can see the growth he's already made to the point where it's like he can possibly be a starter again in the league if he learns from Aaron Rodgers the whole season.
So there's two major things to unpack here. First is the Aaron Rodgers media uncertainty is what I'll call it, right? So what we know from Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay, super selfish, doesn't take pay cuts, fuck this team, I'm all about me, you know, let me go fucking do some ayahuasca and fucking illegal drugs and all
some shrooms and weed.
Right, right.
Totally that soft Gardner handshake, man.
Right. Oh, first of all, unshockingly, he got a fucking drug test, him and Sauce after that. Or him and, was that Sauce or Garrett Wilson? No, it was Sauce.
It was Sauce. It was Sauce.
After that, they both got drug tested. But you know, coming from Green Bay, right, he's this prima donna. That's what the media knows him as. He's this prima donna who goes off and does his thing. He doesn't show up to OTAs. He doesn't show up to anything. He just fucking does his own thing. And if you're not with the Aaron Rodgers way, then you can get fucked. And now he comes to the Jets. Obviously, the NFL forces the Jets into the hard knocks because, I mean, it's surrounding the biggest story in the NFL right now. It's good money. I get it. I'm mad about it, but I get it. You know, and we're seeing this different side, right? Now, obviously, are players going to badmouth him on national television? No. Are they going to portray Aaron Rodgers as this terrible character? Absolutely not. But it kind of, we're starting to see a little bit of a different sense. Like you said, he's showing up to all these meetings. He's the first one in, last one out. He's coaching Zach Wilson, taking the time to step aside and coach. You know, he's taking the time to step aside and be a part of these things and be the team player that we aren't really used to. So it kind of leaves me questioning. Now, I'm happy to see these things as a Jets fan, and I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. But it kind of makes you question, is all that we know about Aaron Rodgers before he comes to the Jets just Packers slander? Have they just been putting that out there for years because they've been fucking up and not doing the right thing by him? So they're like, oh, yeah, look, here, oh, Rodgers is proving out. It's not our fault. We're not paying people to fucking help him. It's not our fault. We're not, you know, winning Super Bowls. It's Rodgers. He smokes the drugs. He's the best. You know what I mean? Like, what is the real Rodgers? Who is, what media version of him is real?
I think it was more of, so obviously Rodgers has been in the league for going on 19 seasons now, almost 20 seasons.
Since Jesus
walked. I think it was a growing problem. Like everything was good and dandy in Green Bay. You know, you got one of the greats, you win a Super Bowl, you know, you keep getting to AFC championship games and playoffs and all this. And then at some point, there was just, I don't want to say a clash or a disagreement or anything like that, but there was something that broke the camel's back. And Rodgers was like, okay, you don't see me or value me the way you saw or valued me before. And I'm trying to help. And I would think, as being one of the franchise greats that you've had, you would take some of my thoughts and stuff in consideration, but you're not. You're kind of shunning me to the side and trying to do your own thing, and we're not winning because of it, which made him take the step back to not want to be in the preseason games, not want to show up to OTAs, not want to do all those extra things. Then you go out and you try to think ahead of the game and find his replacement with going behind his back and drafting his replacement instead of talking to him like a man. So it was one thing after another, which deteriorated that, right, that relationship with Green Bay. And he was just like, you know what? At this point, I got nothing else to give you. I'm not giving you anything at all.
Right. And I mean, look, clearly Rodgers isn't afraid. One of the well-known points that the media liked to make when he was in Green Bay is that he doesn't even speak to his own family, right? And as somebody in a very, very similar position, I can kind of empathize with the whole fact of, look, I don't even talk to my family. You think I'm going to talk to you? You think you can put me through the bullshit that they tried to, and I don't even talk to my own flesh and blood? You can get fucked. As I'm seeing this new side of Rodgers, I kind of, like I said, I kind of empathize with that. Kind of like, all right, you know, I maybe all of this shit's been propaganda. Now, is that me being a biased Jets fan and just praying to God? He's not this prima donna who wants to get his team fucked. you know, and look, like you said, maybe it's just a breakdown of relationship. And over time, things just get sour. It seemed to really start when LaFleur got hired over there, and they clashed right off the fucking bat. And
oh my God, I was just about to say, I think I when they got rid of their fans, yes, I was about to say, I think one of the biggest things too was when they got rid of Nathaniel Hackett. It was one of the big things that like finally made Aaron Rodgers take that step back and was like, you know what, I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is down for the gang with Nathaniel Hackett. You talked about Hard Knocks the other day. So what was it, in episode 2 or episode 1? He addressed Sean Payton's, or maybe it wasn't even in the episodes. Maybe it was in something else. But he addressed Sean Payton's comments about Nathaniel Hackett and his hack job, pun intended, of coaching over at Denver, which he did. He sucked. That team sucked. It was awful. I'm not going to point the fingers at who made it suck, but it sucked. But Aaron Rodgers, like no other time in the history that I've ever seen Rodgers talk, came to a very passionate defense, at least passionate for Aaron Rodgers, came to a very passionate defense of Nathaniel Hackett and pretty much called out Sean Payton for like, yo, get fucked like that. You better keep, he literally said the words, keep my coach's name out your mouth.
I'm pretty sure we have to play Denver this year. I think like week 5. Dropping or something tutties. Like that.
20 tutties in one game.
I think like week 5 or 6. And I trust to believe that man's going to have a record day. Like he's probably going to throw for about 6,000 yards and 460 touchdowns that game.
Bombs. Aaron Rodgers in effect. But no, I mean, we've seen such a monumental shift in what we've seen, it, like I said, in the media persona of Rodgers. And again, you know, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but the media portrays their fucking, you know, their version of things as they wish. You know, but the second point that you brought up with Zach Wilson and his development is a whole nother thing. Like, Braden, by the way, we love you. We miss you too. But Zach Wilson's development is something to be spoken about as well. To see him on the field, one play that he made in the first preseason game, he dropped back. You could see him. He's dancing. He's making his reads. Pocket started to collapse. Timer goes off in his head, and he spins out. It was like a 3rd and 3, I think. He spins out, and he happens to slip when he's trying to make a cut. Doesn't get the first down, but what was important is he didn't bail out in the first second. He made his reads. He came back. He went up his reads, and then he came back down. Timer goes off, and then he bails out. I would have preferred he didn't spin and turn his back to the defense. But overall, just like seeing that maturity level and that patience right there was amazing. Then in the second game, it's like was it first down or 2nd and 10 or something like that? And he hits him with a hard count, gets himself easy 5 yards. We don't see Zach Wilson doing these things last year, you know? So we're seeing this progression under Rodgers. We're seeing what real veteran leadership can do, what having a real mentor can do. And I hate to potentially be back on this train again, but maybe after a couple of years.
I know where you're going, off the train. I've been saying it since before the season ended last year. I'm like, if he can just sit and learn and progress and learn how to, because that's what it was. He would hike, read his first read. If it wasn't there, he's trying to force it or he's trying to make something happen.
Right.
I keep going back to it. When you watch this third episode of Hard Knocks, you can see the relationship between him and Rodgers. And Rodgers tells him, hey, if you don't see this, this, and this, then at this point you wanna go with this and you wanna take off here or you wanna do this. Like you have to that eternal clock, like we speak about. You want to make your reads. You make your reads. If it's not there, you're not forcing the ball. Scoot out the pocket, either throw the ball away, get a couple yards and go out of bounds, whatever right. the case may be, but don't turn the ball over.
Right. Live to fight another day. Give your team a chance to live to fight another day. No?
And it showed in the Buccaneers game.
Yeah, you see that week, little run?
When he had his nice little 20-yard run, and when you watch Hard Knocks again, he's going to be like, hey, I expected you. Rodgers tells him off the rip, I expected you to run out of bounds by the time you hit 12 yards. I get it. You probably thought touchdown. And Zach Wilson's like, yeah, man, I thought I could have got a touchdown. But he was like, you know what? I was scared for you. You should have went out of bounds at 12. I like the effort.
Right.
But we don't need to hurt either.
Right. Right. We don't have Magic Mike White anymore. I need you to live to fight another day, Brad. But no, I know the play that you're talking about, and I expected the same thing. I'm like, all right, he's going to dip out, which I do think he should have. But, you know, it shows the grit, it shows the youth. Yeah. It's nice to see your quarterback go get you some every now and then. And I'm sure as an offensive lineman, your running backs, it's nice to see your boy lower the pads and get out here and get dirty with the rest of them. Which I want to transition. Speaking of offensive linemen, you see that slim, thick boy, Mekhi Becton? Look at my boy back.
So speaking about him, I know he came out in before the offseason completely started. He was, you know, upset about staying at right tackle. He only wanted to be a left tackle. But if you've been watching these preseason games, they've been bouncing him back and forth from left tackle to right tackle. I know he played a little right tackle this last game against the Buccaneers and stuff like that. A little rusty to start off, especially on the left tackle position. A little bit better on the right tackle position. He's starting to get his feet under him. Now he's starting to really roll. And when you look at the numbers of him in the game compared to him not in the game, his first off, when it comes to just running the ball, the man's pretty much unstoppable.
He's a bulldozer. He's an earth mover.
When it comes to passing the ball, a little bit more work needs to be done for him to be 100% and ready to go throughout the entire season.
Sure.
But the pass protection is a lot better, especially when he's on the right tackle position. It's almost unstoppable.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, man, left tackle is hard. It's hard, man. You know, get fucked Lawrence Taylor, fucking changing that entire position. But you're on an island. If you have a right-handed quarterback and you're the left tackle, like, life is miserable for you. It's a tough spot. And I'm not saying that Mekhi Becton can't do it, but I do agree with you. I like seeing him at the right tackle position better. And I'm happy to see him out on the field, running down the field to celebrate with his guys, moving better, slimmer than we've seen him. It's going to be a good year.
We haven't heard not one person since Hard Knock started, since OTA started, since the preseason game started. All offseason was his weight. We have not heard a damn thing about his weight or his gameplay since.
Mm-hmm.
Not a damn thing. And I agree with you. I would rather him... And I sometimes want him to humble himself. If I was him, just for the health reasons, for the sake of the team, I would rather put the younger, more agile Ver Tucker at left tackle, and you just dominate the right side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree, and I hope Ver Tucker, obviously, I hope all of them can stay healthy for the full season. And again, anybody who's watched Breaking Down the Tape before knows that this is just the life cycle of a Jets fan. But, you know, we're talking about all of these pieces coming together and all of these things. And how does it not fill you with a sense of hope and a sense of why not us? I mean, we've got five running backs that could be starters on any team. We've got fucking two offensive tackles that are fucking perennial fucking all pros. You know, we've got... I would say a top 12 offensive line in total. We've got our first string defensive line that obviously is top five. Our second defensive line is top five. You know what
we've got? I'll correct you there. We have two starting defensive lines.
No, that's what I'm saying. We have two defensive lines that rank in the top five of the NFL. Both first and second string defensive lines are top five in their own individual rights, top five. Like, we're talking one of them is top two, the other one is like four. So we've got two top five defensive lines. We've got some of the best cornerbacks and safeties in the league. Linebacker position, I'd give it like a C+, B-. But you know what? Nothing's going to be perfect, you know, and you can coach around that kind of thing, you know, but how does it not fill you with this sense of like, we got things to do? I mean, we just drafted this kid, Will McDonald, who also just bleeds black
air. Animal. Animal.
Violence and speed. This dude is literally gunpowder personified.
I see Will McDonald as Jermaine Johnson as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Like, Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson are the exact same person, just playing two different positions.
Which is exactly what you want. It's exactly what you want. I mean, like I said, there's so many things that can go wrong because it's the Jets, right? You have all of these storylines, right? Nathaniel Hackett coming off of, like, some of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history. But that's Aaron Rodgers' boy. You've got Aaron Rodgers coming off of one of the most drama-laden 20 fucking years in NFL history. But you can't deny that this dude's a stud. You've got Dalvin Cook coming over from the Vikings, which there's no drama surrounding him. But is he going to have those legs? You've got Breece Hall coming off an ACL tear. Other than that, you've got Michael Carter, who I think is a great producer, but clearly has kind of fallen down the ranks. A rookie running back in Izzy. You've got fucking all of these storylines. Now, again, like I said before, I understand why the NFL went with the Jets or forced the Jets into Hard Knocks because all these storylines. But how do you not look at this team, not only on paper, not only through Hard Knocks, and not only through the scope of the preseason games that we've seen, how do you not look at all of this and fucking get a hard on as a Jets fan, for lack of a better way to put this? You know, like, how can I keep myself centered and on the ground when all of these things are like, we're looking at like fucking 13-4 or 4-13, and there's no middle ground, I feel like.
Now, the only thing I would differ with you is that you rank the offensive line around 12th. I think they're a lot lower than that. I think we still need some help there. My thing is, if I was the Jets, I'd pursue so hard for David Bakhtiari.
That's a storyline too, yeah.
I would pursue so hard for him. And there's been Aaron Rodgers' Instagram post where he subliminally threw Bakhtiari's name.
Bakhtiari and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so and there was talks about potentially getting Zach Martin, but then the Cowboys re-signed him and finally shut that down. But we're definitely going to need more offensive line help. I know Dwayne Brown is back. We have a new center. We have that rookie center who is actually really, really fucking talented. And to my knowledge is and to the way I feel about it is better than Connor McGovern.
I'm so back and forth on Connor McGovern, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Which fucking, he went to Buffalo and I just saw today that he's hurt and not even gonna be ready for week one. So that, I mean, that was a plus for us. But I know Vera Tucker is gonna be good on the line, but Mekhi Becton is still a question mark. And the rest of the line is still a question mark. Dwayne Brown is almost, he's almost a fossil. So I don't think he's going to last more than this season. We definitely need to back that up.
My only disagreement with you on Bakhtiari is that you just talked about injuries. When's the last time Bakhtiari has finished a season? And I'm not trying to shit on him as a bad offensive lineman because he's fucking great, and that's also Aaron Rodgers' boy, you know, surrounded with the people he knows, but he hasn't finished a season in years. He gets hurt a lot, so do we really, and he's not at the end of his contract, he's not a free agent, so we'd have to trade draft capital or player capital for him, I don't know if I'm willing to give up anything for a guy that might not play 17 full games. You know, in a spot that I don't disagree with you has a lot of question marks to it. You know what I mean? So, like, I hear you. I would rather, like, I'll give you a first next year for Quentin Nelson. I'll trade a first for Quentin Nelson. I don't give a fuck. Go fuck Quentin yourself. Up. You want to talk about making a run? What did the LA Rams say before they fucking won their Super Bowl? Man, fuck them draft picks. I don't give a shit.
Fuck now, them draft picks. I'll tell you one.
Ones for offensive linemen every day.
I'll tell you one trade that we definitely fleeced, Joe Douglas fleeced the fuck out of, and we won 100% was the trade with the Lions. We sent Mims over there for them to only cut him 2 weeks later.
Well, interesting fun fact. I'm so glad we're on the same page because I was going to bring that up. So they cut Mims. Well, Corey Davis just retired. There is a roster spot for wide receivers on the New York Jets, Mr. Denzel Mims III. I'm just saying.
Why bring him back in, potentially see what he can do.
Why not bring him back? You
but he was hurt. Right? That's the reason. That's one of the reasons why they cut him. He caught an injury. They were saying he was doing great since the trade, and he was doing great with them. Then he caught, I think it was like an ankle or foot injury, and then they ended up cutting him.
But I hear you, but fuck it. Why not? We won the trade, right? We got the draft capital, and he's not on our team. Bring him back in. Have him fight for a roster spot if he's healthy enough to do so. Obviously, this is all under the pretext that this is not a serious injury, that he can be brought back in. Why not bring him back, fight for a roster spot? He's under a new quarterback who we're dying for a downfield threat. Garrett Wilson obviously is, but why not have fucking two of them? Why not have the guy that DK Metcalf was supposed to be based off of before DK Metcalf came around? Why not go get this guy, bring him back on a tiny fucking minimum, and see what he can do? And now, will he take that? I don't know. But ever since he was cut, why not? We got the bullshit we wanted from the Lions. Why not bring him back? Why not see what he can do?
I mean, I don't think the relationship is mended for them to do that. I mean, not that the Jets care. I think Mims feels salty, and I know Mims was the Adam Gase era, so Robert Saleh wants his group, his people,
right?
But I'm not 100% against it. I mean, the man, they saw talent in him. He has a big body and 4.3 speed.
Yeah. And like I said, why not? And if it doesn't work out, he's practice squad or he's off. You know, like we've said before, we've got Brownlee, we've got the Lizard King, Randall Cobb, Garrett Wilson. We've got a couple of rookies. We're clearly committed to the run game. So it might all be for naught, but if it's not going to cost you too much money, why the fuck not fuck around and find out? Well, this might be his renaissance. This might be his comeback. Aaron Rodgers might fall the fuck in love with this guy, and now he's fighting for MVP or fucking offensive player of the year with Garrett Wilson or Dalvin Cook and Breece Hall. Yeah, look, if all five Jets fucking offensive weapons are fighting for offensive player of the year, you're not gonna make me mad. I'm not gonna be upset here. You know what I'm saying?
I think I enjoy more the fact that as the offseason went forward, and people were, oh, the Jets, yeah, on paper look great, but they might only win one extra game. You know, they'll go eight or nine wins. But now, you know, they were saying, oh, 8 or 9 wins, they might make the playoffs. And now we're getting to the point where the start of the season's coming and people are saying they're winning the division. They're going to get 12 or 13 wins. Like, it's just, and I get it. I've been saying it from the start. Join the bandwagon before the season starts now. Because once it starts, the bandwagon door is closed. I don't want to hear anything else. Now, if you want to gloat if it goes bad, sure. Because you stood by that. You stood by that. But when they start winning, And when they show and prove what they're about, the bandwagon door is closed already. I don't want to hear, let's go Jets.
Just remember, we come with receipts. We've proven it before. We come with motherfucking receipts. Don't fuck with me. I want to say on this topic, I have hated that narrative since the beginning. Oh, with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to win one more game. Are you retarded? We had five starting fucking quarterbacks last year. And for most of the season, we're fighting for first and or second place in the AFC East. Five starting quarterbacks and wound up 7-10. You're telling me with a, what, three-time, four-time MVP that's worth one win? Come on. Now you're just being a hater. You're not even thinking. You're just saying dumb shit. Secondly, rumors on the wind are that Stephon Diggs is not happy in Buffalo, that he has lost a measure of faith with the Bills.
Bro, I'm there with you. I said, yo, bro, until Corey Davis chose to retire, I was like, I'd give you Corey Davis, the King Lizard, and a fucking second round pick for Stephon Diggs and pair him up with Garrett Wilson.
I'm just saying. Joe Douglas has clearly made some splashes this offseason.
And we haven't even mentioned, I totally just thought about it right now. We still got Mecole Hardman.
Ah, fuck, I completely forgot about Mecole Hardman. Talking about deep down the field threats being the second fastest.
We got Mecole Hardman. One of the fastest guys in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, holy fuck, what retards are we? Yeah, one of the fastest guys as you're wearing a flash shirt. One of the fastest guys in the fucking National Football League. We completely forgot about Mecole Hardman. Good for us. Look at us be real Jets fans. Yeah. So, I mean, fuck it. I'll trade you fucking three first rounds for Stephon Diggs. I don't give a fuck. At this point, fuck them picks, bro. Fuck them picks. I'll give it all to you. What do you want? Sold. Done. Give me Stephon Diggs across from Garrett Wilson with Aaron Rodgers and Dalvin Cook. Get fucked. What are you going to do with those four football players on the field? Aaron Rodgers, Stephon Diggs, Garrett Wilson, and Dalvin Cook. What? Get fucked. You're going to line up in a nickel? Get fucked. Line up in a dime? Get fucked. Line up
in a run heavy? I'd do the two backs, two receivers. You don't even need the slot. Garrett, Stephon, Brees, Dalvin Cook, and I'm running post routes, go routes, dig routes, and bubble routes all day.
Yeah, give me my five offensive linemen. Give me Jeremy Rucker at the tight end. Give me Stephon Diggs, Garrett Wilson, like you said, obviously Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, Brees Hall. Get fucked. Get fucked. I'm lining up in fucking wing T formations the entire time, and literally every play that I'm calling is get fucked. that's all I can say 20 times over is because what do? You line up in a dime or a quarter to stop your receivers. Awesome. Brees Hall, Dalvin Cook all day. Get fucked. You line up in a run heavy. Get fucked. You line up in a fucking nickel. Somebody is gonna fuck you. You can't stop that.
You know what's been amazing too this entire preseason? Nathaniel Hackett hasn't been calling the offensive plays. Aaron Rodgers has been calling the offensive plays.
To be fair, when Nathaniel Hackett last had the number one offense in the league, it was when his quarterback was Peyton Manning. So, to be fair,
we potentially can see Aaron Rodgers win a fifth MVP this year.
And I actually misspoke. It was Adam Gase that I just referenced, so that's my bad. But honestly, I think I would bet, if you're a betting man, I'd put a 25-cent bet on that and, what, make yourself 100 easy bucks? Aaron Rodgers for MVP sounds like something I might do the second I get off of this, because I might go ahead and just bet that on MGM bet, sponsor us, bitch. But yeah, I have a feeling that reaching out to any sponsor and saying sponsor this bitch is probably not the best way to go. But I do agree with that statement. And I don't think the Bills will ever, like, the price that they ever want to trade the Jets right now, Stephon Diggs would be something
Oh, within division, not happening. Not happening.
But if the Jets could, like, that would just be – honestly, I feel like if the Jets got Stephon Diggs, it would become automatic Super Bowl favorites. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
I mean, we saw – I mean, I know you say you saw the second episode of Hard Knocks. They predict a 31-21 victory in the Super Bowl, Jets versus San Fran.
Yeah. Yeah, which – I don't know. It's tough for me. San Fran don't even know what's going on. Trey Lance is. Can we just talk about the rapid decline?
Is it really a rapid decline when the kid only played one three total games in the NFL? And on top of that, from the day they drafted him, both me and you have said that this kid shouldn't have been drafted.
No, especially at the way where he was drafted. No, like I said, not for us, there hasn't been a rapid decline. For us, there's been like a steady, ha-ha, we told you so. But in the Niners camp, like Trey Lance was the
guy. And they're potentially talking about, first of all, they already made Sam Darnold the backup to Brock Purdy. So you made this kid, you wasted a first-round top five pick on Trey Lance to make him the third-string quarterback. The third-string quarterback with the potential of trading him, but you couldn't find a trade suitor.
You wasted a top-five pick to have him third behind Sam Darnold
and Mr. Irrelevant.
That is mint. That is mint.
I don't think in the history of football we have seen a top-five pick quarterback position become the not the backup but the third string to Mr. Irrelevant.
And let me make this, and I feel like I speak for you as well, let me make this abundantly clear: Brock Purdy earned it. This is by no way, shape, or form an indictment or a shit talk fest on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy earned exactly his position and exactly where he is at. But it's just the astounding, and it just ties into this conversation that I've said before. Anybody who thinks they know anything about scouting is wrong. You are throwing darts at a dartboard and praying to God something lands.
And I'm still not sold on Brock Purdy.
Fuck all of these. I've been a scout for 40 fucking, you don't know shit. You're just praying to God. Your dart happens to hit somewhere near the bullseye. And the San Fran 49ers are exactly the fucking case study for it. We trade buku amounts of everything for a top five pick in Trey Lance, who played like 12 career starting fucking snaps in his entire life. And then Mr. Irrelevant comes out here and just lays his elephant dick on the fucking table and fucking steals the show. So it's just.
But I'm still not sold on Brock Purdy because, I mean, anyone can go on a good 8-game stretch run. We've seen it with Lynn Sanity with the Knicks. Sure. We've seen it in all types of sports and sport games. And he could come out this season and the rest of his career and just be Mr. Irrelevant.
Nah.
But I will admit, it is his job to lose right now.
The reason I disagree with you is simply because of the stars aligning for this kid, right? Like, first of all, the amount of injuries that happened for him to get a starting spot, first and foremost, is already stars aligning. And no one wants any injuries to happen, but it's just a simple fact of how this kid got a starting position. Secondly, he is in one of the most quarterback-friendly fucking offenses that have ever been devised in the NFL since Kyle Shanahan's father, Mike Shanahan. We've said it many a times that this is a plug and play offense. It is a use and abuse offense, right? Your running backs are a dime a dozen. Your quarterbacks are a dime a dozen. If we take that for holy gospel truth, that the quarterbacks are a dime a dozen and it's plug and play, insert dude who can throw a ball pretty decently here, he's already set up for uber success. Now you've got the fact that they just completely blew their fucking number one draft pick last year. They completely blew having any sort of backup potential with Garoppolo and that relationship souring plus injury. And then they went out and got Sam fucking Darnold, who can't understand a ghost versus a real fucking DB. The situation is ripe perfect for this dude. You've got Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, which I know people like to sleep on fullbacks, and that's fine, but Kyle Juszczyk is no ordinary fullback. You've got, Kittle. George Kittle.
Kittle.
You know, you've got Debo Samuel.
Fucking Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk. You've got, I've never seen stars align like what this kid has potentially for the rest of his life. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Anybody can have a stretch. Like you said, Linsanity. Brock Purdy's potentially another example here. But if the stars have aligned more perfectly in another situation, I've never seen it. This kid is set up to really just fucking steal the show here. So I don't know. I think that kid's fucking set for life over there. I think if Brock Purdy can manage the Niners to win 10 games, he's the starter. He gets like a 6-7 year contract and he's the starter.
But my thing is, my question to you is, with how weak the NFC is, and the only dominant team we can see in the NFC right now is the Philadelphia Eagles, and then there's a little bit of drop off, and then you put the Niners, and then there's just a huge gap, and there's everybody else.
Sure.
Would it still be the same if the NFC was more shaped out to be like the AFC? Would that narrative still be the same? Because then Brock Purdy's playing a lot more. What happens if he was playing more Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrows and Lamar Jacksons and Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Josh Allen's and, you know, Deshaun Watson's, and you got all these quarterbacks on the AFC side. You look at the NFC side, it's Eagles, Niners, everybody else.
Yeah, but I think the narrative would change, but I don't think it hurts him, right? So say the Niners swap places with the Dolphins, right? And now the Niners are in the AFC, and like you said, now he's got to play against Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers and all of, because you're 100% right. The AFC is 10 times stronger, right? Then it becomes, well, of course he's the seventh quarterback in the AFC. He's Mr. Irrelevant. But it doesn't change his immediate situation within the 49ers. It doesn't change how the stars have aligned in his team. And while the narrative changes from, oh my God, look at this dude being one of the best quarterbacks in his conference, to, well, of course he's behind Joe Burrow. Of course he's behind Josh Allen. He's expected to be. He's fucking Mr. Irrelevant. Of course he is, but look at what the little guy can do. He's number 7 behind 6 of the top best quarterbacks in the league. You know what I mean? Like, sure, the narrative changes. Of course it's going to change, but I don't think it's a narrative that hurts him. I think it, like, goes from, wow, look at this dude, to, wow, look at this little guy still competing with the big dogs. You know what I mean? Like,
now, another question, does Trey Lance get another chance at a starting job, nope, whether it's with the 49ers or any other organization?
Nope. Absolutely not. I'm not going to let you finish that question. Absolutely not. Because if I'm an NFL GM for 31 other NFL teams outside of the Niners, and I'm looking at the turmoil, I'm looking at you named Sam Darnold number 2. That's really the nail in the coffin. Like, yeah. I can understand Brock Purdy retaining his starting job because of how well he did. And it's just a morale thing for your team at this point, right? Like, why remove the dude who just went on, like, one of the most Cinderella runs ever? Why remove him? That's going to fuck up your team. Fine. But the fact that in the offseason, I'm watching it again as an outside NFL GM, and I'm watching outside and just, I don't even have the connections that I'm supposed to have. I just watch ESPN and fucking SportsCenter and shit like that. And I see that clearly you, the Niners, have some sort of issue with this kid that he can't even behind the scenes win a backup role. Zach Wilson won a backup role for the love of God. They shipped off Magic Mike White. You know, the dude that is in the National Football Hall of Fame. Mike White's in the Hall of fucking Fame over his fucking game. And they shipped his ass off. And Trey Lance can't even beat Sam Darnold. If I'm the outside looking in, that kid's poisoned. I don't know what is poisoned because I'm not in that organization. But that kid is poisoned in some way, shape, or form. Be it mentally, be it physically, be it... He eats the souls of small children. I don't fucking know. Something about that kid is not fucking right that he can't even beat Sam Darnold behind closed doors. So no, that kid's fucked. Trey Lance doesn't have a future on a fucking high school football team.
So since we've brought up the Jets and the Niners, and in Hard Knocks, they brought up that Super Bowl 31-21 Jets.
By the way, that mentalist bullshit's always crazy to me. That shit was wild to
watch. Yeah, that shit is always crazy. I've actually seen one when I was in college back in the day, and they like hypnotized me to fucking do some crazy shit. It was wild.
But you need to be hypnotized for that shit?
You stupid. You stupid. So since Hard Knocks brought up the Niners and the Jets, and we brought up the Niners and the Jets, let's just say, foreshadowing down the road, you know, hypothetically, the Jets and the Niners do meet in the Super Bowl. What do you expect to happen? And no bias, like, honest opinion. I get it. We want to say Jets win the whole thing. But if Brock Purdy can take the Niners to the Super Bowl, and then we got Aaron Rodgers taking the Jets to the Super Bowl, and they meet up, what is that outcome?
Woof. What a storyline. First of all, you couldn't write the amount of storylines. You couldn't, like, script this any better. And if the Jets wind up playing the Niners in the Super Bowl, I might give a little leeway to the NFL is scripted crowd. I might give that to him, right? Because you've got the Robert
Sala. I'm calling that fucking hypnotist fucking dude up and like, yo, I need you to predict my future.
Fuck your future. I'm trying to, who's winning the World Series? Who's winning the Stanley? Bro, I'll cut you in on half of everything. Let's get it. But, I mean, you couldn't script this shit better, right? For so many major and minute reasons, right? So not only do you have the Cinderella story of Brock Purdy, right? I mean, Mr. Irrelevant, who, again, stars aligned, won the starting role, and now he's in the Super Bowl a year later, right? So, boom, Cinderella story. You've got, obviously, the entire story of the New York Jets bringing in Aaron Rodgers, blah, blah, blah. We already know it, right? That's why they were selected for Hard Knocks. You've got the former employee against the former boss, right? Robert Saleh versus Kyle Shanahan. You've got the can Shanahan get over the hump? Because let's not forget, he was the offensive coordinator during the largest collapse of Super Bowl history. So we've got that storyline. We've got, obviously, you know, everyone's going to call back to that Hard Knocks episode of the prediction. Oh my God, it's scripted. So you've got that storyline. We've got the storyline of Aaron Rodgers coming out of college, wanting to play for San Fran, and they eventually pass over him. He's going to make everyone pay, but then can't ever beat San Fran in the playoffs with Green Bay. Now he has a chance to do in the Super Bowl. This is storybook. Storybook fucking Super Bowl. I don't know what will happen. I think on paper, and I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible and simply do matchups, right? So O-line, D-line, the Niners win their D-line over our O-line. That's fine. I can respect and get that. I think our D-line over their O-line. Quarterback to quarterback, I take our quarterback. Receivers to receivers, it's early. Ugh. That's tough for me. That's because we have yet to see how the Lizard King and Randall Cobb, Brownlee, Mecole Hardman, we have yet to see how they're going to produce on the Jets. We already know what Brandon Ayuk, we already know what fucking Deebo Samuel can do over there. So that's a question.
But we do have the depth.
We do have the depth, I will say that. You know, CMC versus Dalvin Cook, now they only really have CMC over there. So again, depth-wise, the Jets win in the running back. But if you're taking CMC versus Dalvin Cook in a one-on-one, I might take CMC in that matchup.
I've also heard Dalvin Cook's going to start the season, but they're trying to end the season with Hall.
And like I said, with the like the 16-headed monster that they have at running back, the Jets are going to constantly have fresh running backs that are starters on 28 out of 32 NFL teams. So in depth, yes, I take the Jets, but in RB1 versus RB1, I got to give the edge to CMC because of his receiving abilities. Defense versus defense, it's still tough. They've got a good fucking defense. Now, their shining fucking star is their defensive line, whereas we, like we discussed, have a top three and top four defensive line in our starting and backup defensive lines. We've got some of the best cornerbacks and some of the best safeties in the league. I'll give a slight edge to the Jets. I want to be as unbiased as possible, but I would take the Jets in a 2-point game if they play. I don't think 10 points is fair, but I think in a 2-point game, Jets Niners Super Bowl, I got the Jets by 2. And let me tell you, you need to call out a search party for me if the Jets win the Super Bowl, because the level of intoxication that I'm going to reach, even high school me can't compete.
First of all, I don't need to put out a search party because we're both going to be in Vegas fucked up.
Yeah. Yo,
we're both going to be in Vegas just in – we're going to be Johnny Manziel in Vegas.
Brayden, if you're still watching, be prepared if the Jets make the Super Bowl.
Yeah. We're going to be Johnny Manziel in Vegas. But I agree with you. I really do agree with how everything – how you broke down both the teams just now. And – I mean, honestly, it's not really much of a difference, but I can put a score to mine. I would say it's going to be a relatively not low scoring, but not high scoring. I'm thinking more of like a 24-21 victory on the Jets side.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. At first, I wanted to say, boom, defenses are going to own. But then I'm looking at the offensive weapons and how do you stop either of these teams offensively? You'd only hope to slow them down. So I'm like, all right, maybe it'll be a high scoring affair. But again, you can't discount defenses. So I agree with you. I think we're playing plus 20, but less than 30. You know what I mean? I think we're either team's score is going to be within 20 to 30, right? I don't think we're really going to go above or below that. And man. I don't even think it's going to be the last team that has the ball kind of thing. You know, people are like, oh, whoever has the ball last is going to win the game. I don't think we're going to be in that realm. I think whoever has the ball last is going to be down by 2. And the final team, you know, whoever makes the defensive stand is going to win this game. That'll be a tough – again, if that's the Super Bowl that happens – The NFL is scripted crowd might have a play here, because that is like the most storyline Super Bowl that you could get.
At the same time, the Eagles did beat the shit out of the fucking 49ers. And we can't just shun away the Eagles from being at the Super Bowl last year. Could easily be the Eagles in the Super Bowl again.
It could, but one could argue that it's very hard to go back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, you had the dynasty of the Patriots for fucking 20 years, and you had the Bills who did it 4 times in a row. But we really don't see that happening a lot unless you're mentioning names like Manning or Brady. I'm not shitting on Hurts, but I think it would be too early to say that he is that kind of kid that can be mentioned with those names. I think that would be asinine to say that Hurts can be mentioned with Manning's or Brady's, personally. I don't dislike the Eagles' chances at a Super Bowl, especially coming out of one of the weakest divisions in the NFC East, because Daniel Jones ain't about that life, and the Commanders ain't about that life. I know. Me and you are going to fight to the end about Daniel
Jones. I do right now. Daniel Jones is going to make another leap this year. That team is going to make the playoffs again. He actually has receivers this year, a good tight end, a better defense.
I bet you he has a tight end.
I swear to God, I'm going to kick you in your forehead.
Look, I've already been struggling through this bottle of Jameson because I don't like cold coffee, anything. It's one of those cold brew things. Don't make me spit it everywhere. But no, I, as far as the fucking Giants go, I don't know, man. I don't think Dable is enough. I don't know. It's a weak division, right? All you really have to do is get past the fucking Eagles because the Cowboys are going to inevitably collapse. And, I mean, the Commanders are the fucking Commanders. But did you hear, by the way, they're potentially switching their name back to the Redskins?
Now that the Native Americans want it back to, like, bro, like, I can't go with this back and forth. It's we don't think it's appropriate, but we want it back.
And look, I'm gonna be the Caucasian here that admits this. It was white people who didn't think that shit was appropriate. Let's call it for what it is. It was white people that's like, that's offensive to Native Americans, and Native Americans were always like, yeah, okay, whatever. Anywho.
That's also true.
But yeah, look, I'm white, but I'm not let's go check out that sound in the haunted house white. Right? I still have my invite to the cookout. But I don't know. The NFC is okay, the Giants could potentially make the playoffs. I'd give them a 50-50 coin flip because the NFC is weak in and of itself. But as far as the Eagles making it to the playoffs, sure, playoffs easy, but as far as to the Super Bowl, sure. I don't hate that. I don't think it's a bad bet. I don't think it's like an obscene thing to say. I mean, who do you have as Super Bowl favorites over there? I guess,
like I said, Vikings. It's Eagles, San Fran, and then everybody else.
You potentially have the Vikings in that mix, San Fran in that mix, the Eagles.
I think the Vikings take a huge step back not having Dalvin Cook anymore. Yeah, so if you look on the NFC side, so we got the Eagles, San Fran. Who's going to win the South? Possibly God.
Yeah, God. God might. God might.
God.
Fuck. Let's go to the Falcons. Fuck it. Let's go to the Falcons.
I can see. Okay, so we got the Eagles. We got in the East. We got San Fran in the West. We got the Falcons in the South. Who wins the North?
The Vikings. Miller, if you ever watch this, I love you and I respect your Bears and I love that you got going for Justin Fields, but Vikings.
Okay, so the Vikings, that's four. And then you got what? Three other spots. Two other spots. So
we've got, I would say the Chicago Bears do make one of those spots.
I don't think so.
I'll say the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions make two of those spots.
So I want to actually switch that. I actually think the Vikings don't. I think the Lions win the division. The Vikings take a wild card. The Giants take another wild card. And that what? There's a third wild card now? Or is it just?
No, there's three wild cards, right?
Three? I think it's three now.
I don't know. I've been drinking.
I think it's seven that going out to so six or seven. Yeah. So, and then the Seahawks.
I did forget about the Seahawks. Oof. I don't know, man. Old man Pete Carroll. I have not had a lot of confidence lately.
You seen him throw that ball at 71 years old? That means ready to play QB.
Yeah, maybe physically, but mentally.
That man was throwing passes like Sam Darnold.
Editing does a lot for things. He said like Sam Darnold, you jackass. I don't hate the Seahawks in that conversation. I just don't love them. Not gonna lie.
Luckily, Braden's not on right now.
I know. The comment section would be blowing up if he was. There's nothing. I get it, right? Like Geno Smith's Cinderella story last year. There's not a lot about them that is still like fucking tickling my fancy. And
I think the team as a whole still kind of has everything that needs to be put to make a playoff. I want to say a playoff run, but make the playoffs.
There's nothing there.
I don't think Geno's going to play up to what he did last year. So I can see them making the playoffs, but more like a one and done.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just nothing there that splashes for me. There's nothing there. I should have just poured that into the last drink. There's nothing left. There's nothing there that just really just like. And the NFC is weak, so you don't really have to pop off the screen to really get there. But it's just nothing that makes me. I don't know anything about them. Just feel nothing about the Seattle Seahawks. Just saying. But what is the realistic prediction that you have for the Jets? Like realistic season predictions, what you want, what you need out of this season to not put you in a turtle suit hanging from the rafters.
So obviously I would love a division win. We haven't had a division win since I think it was 2001 or something like that.
Yeah.
I would love a division win, but that's not what we're aiming for. I don't give a fuck if we win the division or make a wild card spot. We need to be in the playoffs.
Yes.
We need to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, you now, can't spend kind of energy not make the playoffs.
Yes. Now, I'm not on the same boat as most people where it's Super Bowl or bust. I think since Rodgers already came out and said he's going to play at least two or three seasons, it's year one with the Jets for him. Mm-hmm. At minimum, AFC championship game.
So I'm with you there. I have that in my mind. I'm with you there.
AFC championship game.
I think they need to be competitive in the AFC championship game or bust. But I think, like I said earlier in the segment, they have two, maybe 3 years at most, and then their window closes. And now, that's with the current situation. Whether Joe Douglas pulls some Joe Douglas-style shenanigans and loads up again in 2 years, again, you know what I mean? This is just based off of what we've got right now. We've got 2 to 3 years.
So I'm thinking AFC championship game with the potential of a Super Bowl. Now, watching what the Buffalo Bills are doing, I have more hope and more of a realistic view of us actually winning the division. Because they've got some injuries. They got some turmoil in the locker room. They got things going on. I could see the Bills falling off and the Jets winning 12 or 13 games and actually winning the division. I'm going more with the round 12 than I am 13. I think the Bills will get somewhere around 11. That's just me.
So here's my honest and truly honest opinion. When I read those stories about Stephon Diggs, there was a lot of quotes in those. The losing faith, losing a level of faith in the team. That was in quotes, which is very interesting to me. And it's not the first time we've heard these rumors, right? Like at the end of last season, right, when they got bounced from the playoffs, Stephon Diggs apparently had to be dragged back to the locker room because he was pissed off and said something to the effect of, it happens every year. And again, that was in quotes.
And him and Josh Allen going at it about getting him the ball.
So when things get put in quotes and we start to see a theme, right? You know, we saw this when he was over in Minnesota, right? Like we're starting to see a theme here. So I don't really have faith in Buffalo. Maybe this is a dangerous thing for me to say, but I'm starting to lose fear for Bill Belichick. I'm starting to wonder if we really have seen the decline of one of the greatest minds in football, and whether it's a personal decline or maybe it's a detachment from, you know, he's got senioritis and he's just detached from the team in and of itself, or there's something that we're not seeing behind the scenes, you know, but I'm starting to lose fear of Bill Belichick. Nothing about Mike McDaniel scares me. I think he was cool and he was hip and that was it. You know what I mean? I obviously don't think he can take care of his team. So I don't fear the AFC East. Maybe it's because I'm stupid. Maybe it's because I'm just enamored with what we've got going on. But I cannot get 14-3 out of my head. I've been stuck on that for a minute now. 14-3 is where I'm at. I've got a division championship and even a potential first round bye on my mind. I don't know, man. I could be stupid and just keep falling in love with this dumbass team every offseason. But it just feels like I've said in every year past, something is different this year. But I've got 14-3 stuck. I agree with you. In order to keep me from swinging from the rafters or turning these walls into a Jackson Pollock painting, we've got to make the AFC Championship. You can't put this kind of time and effort and fucking money and resources into what we have and not do that, right? Like, that's got to be the expectations. I think we might have to send a search party for us in Vegas when the Jets win the Super Bowl this year. I can't get away from it. I can't get away from, like, looking at just offenses alone, right? Because the AFC is an offensive conference, right? Period, end of story. It is the offensive conference. And I'm stacking Aaron Rodgers against Joe Burrow. Close, but I've got Aaron Rodgers. I'm stacking Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes. And in that one, I'm giving a slight edge to Patrick Mahomes because he's just a fucking cheat code and that dude doesn't exist on planet Earth. But when I compare those, then, okay, so edge Patrick Mahomes, but I'll give the edge to the Jets defense. You know, I compare against Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen, and with the turmoil going on up there, losing your offensive coordinator, I'd give the edge to the Jets. Every time I go to compare, even if I'm giving a slight edge in this area, I'm giving a major edge and another towards the Jets. You know, so with all these give and takes, I got the Jets number one, maybe number two in the entire conference. And we switch that over. Okay, say we win the conference. Say we push through. We beat the AFC, right? We move over. Now we're in the Super Bowl. Who are we playing in the NFC? I got them. The only real players that I've got them having a hard time with is the Niners, is the Eagles. And it's very hard for me to look at.
And it's funny when you name these three teams, the Eagles, the Niners, and the Jets, because those are going to be the top three defenses in the league. Yeah. The Jets have the best defense in the AFC.
Yes. Yeah, and you always know where I stand. Defense wins championships, period, end of story. Like, we've seen time and time again when the number one offense goes against the number one defense, who wins that matchup? The number one defense. Patrick Mahomes. We saw that kid against the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl in Tampa, literally parallel to the ground, 3 inches from the ground, and hit his receiver in the face mask in a move that not even video game developers could fucking program.
Now they do it in Madden 24. You can do that pass.
I saw that. Because physically you couldn't think that could fucking happen. Throw a fucking 40-yard dot from 3 inches from the ground parallel to the fucking ground. That's physically impossible. And they had to put it in the video game after it happened. And we still saw that team get raped by one of the best defenses in the league. Defense wins championships. And when we're stacking all the defenses, Jets have easily top two, at worst, top three. And then you add in Dalvin Cook, Garrett Wilson, Mecole Hardman, Jeremy Ruckert, the Lizard King, Randall Cobb, Breece Hall, Michael Carter, Izzy,
Azuma,
Mekhi Becton. I mean, CJ Uzama. The expectations are high. The expectations are the highest in 31 years of living. I cannot accept any less than a Super Bowl appearance. I just can't. I can't. I got the Jets winning the Super Bowl this year. And in genuine and honest to God fashion, when we get off of this, I will be betting that the Jets win the Super Bowl this year.
Well, before we get any more, obviously, we haven't changed, even though we've been gone for so long.
No, still the same jackass.
Let's end it here. And hey, we got a week.
We got a week. And we see Aaron Rodgers. And
don't forget, fantasy football is back.
Yes.
We have a couple drafts coming up. We got a draft in 3 days. We got a draft in about 8 days. And we got a, I got another draft in about 6 days. I got like four drafts in the next week.
Yeah, I got to figure out what's going on. I know that we have the Degenerates coming up in three. Jacking Tapes and Breaking Cans is coming up.
No, Jacking Tapes and Breaking Cans is in three. Okay. Degenerates is in 8 days.
Okay. So I've got that in eight. And then I'm in part of like two or three other leagues that I got to figure out what's going on in, because the league owners have not like revamped. I might start my own league. I don't know. Who knows? I feel frisky right now, but it's because I've been drinking. But so I know I have those two. I want to be in at least one or two other. I want to be in creator leagues where I can theoretically get back on TikTok and do things, but you know, time permitting and mental health permitting. So we'll see.
So we got a handful of leagues coming back up, and trust me, the Degenerates episodes will still continue.
Yes. Yes. I would like to do Jacking Tapes and Breaking Cans episodes. Whether it just be like a live, if we can get the other guys on for like 20, 30 minutes, I would like to try and do those, because those are always fun in the chat. Those are always ballsy in the chat.
I know. That league is fucking wild. For six teams in a league.
All teams are super teams. It's always, I think everyone scores like 230 points plus every fucking week. It's insane.
And you're runner up right now behind Boda. I was in third last year.
I'm so mad. I was runner up behind Boda. And then I tell you, in one of my other leagues, it came down, the Super Bowl was the Bills Bengals game that got cut because of DeMar Hamlin. Obviously, you know, understandable.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Joe Mixon and T. Higgins, and he had, like, Devon Singletary, and I was up – or no, I was down by, like, a point. So technically he won because the game got cut. I was like, how the fuck are Joe Mixon and Devon and fucking T. Higgins not going to score more points than fucking Devon Singletary? But somehow the league just gave him the win, which, I mean, technically he did. But it was my first chance at a
chip.
Championship.
Well, so, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the plaque for our trophy for QA. It's coming in, so I can throw on the trophy, and Generous Trophy is gonna be up for grabs again. Most of the money is in the pot. I just need Frank, Al, QA, and you. Everybody else is paid.
I don't have to worry about paying. You just send that trophy to me. I'm going to win it this year.
Oh, no, I mean, granted, I've already spent half the money because I know it's coming to me.
You just take it out of my winnings. It's coming.
Just used all the money for food shopping today.
Them grocery bills, baby, man.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I paid my utility bill this morning, you know, with the winnings.
You know what? I lied. I'm not running free leagues. I'm going to run paid leagues. I got three kids, man. Grocery bills are wild.
Man. If the Jets – I just thought about it. If the Jets win the go to the Super Bowl, our Super Bowl pool is going to be amazing.
The boxes? Going to the Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Just going to the Super Bowl. Ain't nothing stopping me. Ain't nothing stopping. I'm selling kidneys. My liver, you could sell like 75% of your liver. You know, that shit will regenerate.
I'm just saying, like, the Super Bowl boxes we do is going to be insane.
Insane, bro. It's going to be $1,000 a box minimum.
Oh, because No. I'm raising the price. If you don't got 10K, if you don't got 10K per box, you ain't in.
Yeah. I got to pay for my flight. I got to pay for my tickets. You know, what are we doing here? I got to get there somehow. Ain't no winnings this year. You're just funding me going to watch the Jets play the Super Bowl.
100%. I'm like, yeah, you want to buy a box, and then we're just gonna split the cost for airfare.
Yeah, no shit. I'll fucking look. I've driven from Vegas to fucking New York before. Remember, I was stuck in Vegas during the pandemic. I've made that drive. I'll do it again. Don't fuck with me. It's been too long, man. It's been good to be back on. It's been good.
Oh yeah. For once, I can like leave reality for a second, and then. Have a little bit of fantasy in my head.
Oh, I'll give you a fantasy baby boy.
He said what he said.